I didn't know Joe as well as I would like to have known. Last year, I saw him several times in the hospital when he was fighting that terrible infection in his arm. But that's not a great place to get to know someone. We talked mainly about his condition and the course of treatment he was going through. But sometimes here at the church, I got a chance to talk to Joe. We have an education hour after our worship service, and I'd find Joe over there sometimes playing with his phone, waiting to pick up his children after Sunday school, and we would talk. He told me about how he was going back to school to become an engineer. And that was interesting to me because I had made the opposite journey. I had been in the engineering world as a software developer, and I made the transition to ministry when I went back to school. Joe had a really good sense of humor, and I joked with him about the pros and cons of doing technical work. Ministers have it easy, you see, because we make mistakes the same way that engineers do, but when we make a mistake, there's no way to measure how much damage we do. But mostly when Joe and I talked, he talked with me about his family. There's this thing we do at the beginning of our Sunday gatherings where children light the candles at the front of the building. And the light is supposed to be an illustration, kind of a visual aid to help us remember that God has been out in the world. He's been in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our community all week long. He's been out where we have been. But when we gather here for worship on Sunday, God joins us here in this place of worship. And so the light is a kind of a visual aid for that. And Juniper had taken the little class we have so that people learn how to do that, how to hold all the parts and do all the things. And I had the opportunity to talk to Joe one day after she'd done it a few times, and I complimented her and told him how well she was doing it. Another time I remember talking to him about Logan. Logan had said something that was just awesome in the children's message here. And I told him that I wasn't sure if he was going to go into politics or into big business, but he was going to wind up being the president of something. So Joe loved his kids, and he had reason to be proud of them. I would have liked to have gotten to know Joe better. I feel as if I sort of knew him and sort of didn't. If I may borrow a phrase from our first reading, I knew Joe in part. When Lauren asked me if it would be appropriate to include this love chapter from 1 Corinthians in a memorial service, she told me it has special significance to her because it was read at her and Joe's wedding. I was delighted to include it precisely because it is read at weddings. But at weddings, people pay more attention to the first half, which talks about love. The second half talks about prophecies and speaking in tongues and all kinds of weird things that people really just aren't in the mood to hear about at a wedding. But it is that second part of the reading that speaks to us today. Today, we are gathered not to be witnesses of a couple joining their lives together, but to bear witness to the hope that we have in the resurrection. We gather here because we hold the belief that Joe has passed from our sight, but he has not ceased to be. We believe Joe is safe now with Jesus in paradise, and we believe we will see both of them in the renewal of all things in the resurrection. We don't know that with utter certainty. We can't know it because it hasn't happened yet. But we know enough to give us hope that it will happen eventually. We know a little, and we hope a little. We know in part, we prophesy in part. Today, we see things dimly. Paul says it's like how when you look in a mirror, it's accurate but inaccurate at the same time. The person who looks back at you from the mirror is exactly like you, but they part their hair on the wrong side. We see, but we don't see, or we don't see fully. We know in part, and we hope in part. We know enough to have hope for Joe. We know enough to look forward to the day when we will see him again. And because we have hope, we aren't anxious. We aren't worried about Joe. We just miss him. We grieve his absence from us. We mourn our loss. He is not lost, but he is lost to us. We miss him, and it hurts us. There's a part of us that aches when we think about Job. We're upset, even angry. We don't worry about death because we have hope in the resurrection. Death is not the problem. Living is the problem. Making it through one more day in a world where death separates us from the people that we dare to love. Getting through the day, getting through the week and the month, and making it to Christmas and next year. So what does our faith, the faith that gives us so much hope about death, tell us about life? The first thing our faith tells us is said best by the psalmist, I think, in another well-loved passage. He says that life is hard, but that God will see us through it. The psalmist doesn't lie. He doesn't tell us a story, a happy story, that life's going to be wonderful. He says life is going to be hard. That's the reality. Not always. Not as hard as it could be. But too often, it will be too hard. There will be times, times like today, when we will have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There will be occasions when we have good reason to fear evil. But God is with us, so we will get through the hard times. God is our shepherd, and he guards us like a shepherd. Just like a shepherd who uses his rod to protect the flock and his staff to keep them from straying, God will protect us. God will provide for our needs, prepare our tables, anoint us with oil, fill our cups to overflowing. Goodness and mercy will follow along behind us, and if sometimes they fall behind, eventually they will catch up. Even in this hurting and broken world, there are still green pastures, and God will lead us to them. This faith, the faith of the psalmist, our faith, gives us hope that there will be hard times, but God will be with us and see us through them. But our faith says something else. Tradition says that of the original apostles who saw Jesus on Easter morning, all but one became a martyr for their hope in the resurrection. The only exception was John of Patmos. He was called John of Patmos because the Roman government didn't martyr him for his faith the way it did the other apostles. Instead, it exiled him to the island of Patmos, separated from everyone that he loved back on the island, or back on the mainland. And it was on that island that John received a prophetic vision during his exile. He wrote the vision down, and we have a record of it in the book of the Bible called Revelation. In that vision, John says how he saw the new heaven and the new earth, the glorious future that God is bringing about. John saw as a fulfilled reality. And he gives us two pictures to help us understand what he saw. The first thing John noticed when he saw that vision was the sea had disappeared. He didn't mean there was no more ocean or marine life. What John meant by this picture was that at last the barrier had disappeared. The obstacle that had separated him from his loved ones was no more. And no sooner has John taken that in than John looks up and sees the heavenly city coming down, dressed as a bride for her husband. Those of you who've been married know what he means. That moment when you look down the aisle or when you look up the aisle and you see the one you love, the one in whom you have invested all your hopes and desires, your longings, everything that you want in this life, you see them and you look down the aisle and you realize they love you too, and that now finally the separation between you is over. These two pictures of joyous reunion complement the psalmist's image of God as a shepherd. The shepherd watches over us today, protecting us, providing for us, helping us to get through our days in a valley that so often is overshadowed by death. But God sees our pain too, and promises a day is coming when every obstacle that stands in the way of love will be removed. Heaven comes to earth and the barriers come down. Even God will dwell among us, and he will wipe away every tear and every cause of sorrow and heartache. Never again will there be separation. Death and sorrow and crying and pain are no more. This life is often filled with pain and sorrow, by grief and loss. We gather today nearly overwhelmed by it. But we have reason to hope that God will see us through it. He will protect us. More than that, he will lead us beside still waters and restore our soul. And at the renewal of all things, when hope becomes sight, and at last as we see things as they truly are, all the obstacles that stand in the way of love will be gone. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We're going to sing one of Joe's favorite songs.